Welcome to Daily in the Word.
Striving Together Publications is committed to providing growing Christians and local churches with life-changing resources. For growing Christians, we strive to provide solid Christian books and music that encourages your heart and strengthens your faith. For local churches and spiritual leaders, we're providing sound, biblical Sunday school curriculum, outreach and discipleship materials, church brochures, sermon helps, and a growing list of other tools and resources. If you are a growing Christian or a leader in local church ministry, you simply must visit Striving Together Publications at strivingtogether.com.
Are you or someone you love being held in the grips of some addictive behavior or some past abuse? If so, next on Daily in the Word, we're going to discover recovery together with God. Stay with us. Lasting spiritual recovery is only possible by the internal transforming power of the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's only because of the gospel and because of the power of Jesus Christ that we can truly experience recovery from chains of addiction and abuse that bind us and haunt us for so long in life. Welcome to another edition of Daily in the Word and to a series entitled Recovery Together with God. This program comes to you from the high desert of Southern California, Lancaster, California, and features the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chapel, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster. You can find out more about this ministry online at dailyintheword.org. Once again, that's dailyintheword.org. On that website, you'll find plenty of resources that will encourage you in your relationship and your ongoing recovery as you walk with Jesus Christ. Right now, we're going to look at Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 2, volunteering to follow God's changes for my life. Here's Paul Chapel.
And one man said to the other, he said, you know, he said, I at one time was really in love with your wife. To which the husband said, yeah, so was I. And there's a lot of people that get to that point. And yet, rather than saying, boy, I've got to come over some defects. God, I've got to have your help and your grace. And Lord, I want to voluntarily say I need help today. Rather than voluntarily saying, Lord, I need help, we just kind of acquiesce to the problem. We just kind of think that things are never going to change. And we grow accustomed to living without victory. But the Word of God says in 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not, for some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. God says, I don't want you to fall asleep in that relationship. I don't want you to fall asleep in your Christian life. I want you to wake up. I want you to live for me. I want you to know what the Christian life is all about. And so some people become lulled into accepting less than God's best. And tragically, some go to another level. Some go to the level of literally finding their identity in that defective lifestyle. Punk rockers, body piercing, all kinds of abominable acts that are being done from one person to another today. What is that? It's people saying, this is me, man. This is the way I am. And that's just how it's going to be. And they're finding their identity in that subculture. They're finding their identity in that type of lifestyle. And they're saying, this is what I'm all about. You know, all of us do that in some way if we're not careful. All of us can convince ourselves that some things can't change. For example, someone might say something innocently like this. Well, I'm always afraid when I get on a plane. Every time I get on an airplane, I'm afraid. Now, guess what's going to happen the next time they get on an airplane? They're going to be afraid. Some people say this, well, I never take a good picture. I just don't take a good picture. Guess what's going to happen the next time they get in front of a camera? They're not going to take a good picture. Why? Because they have determined that that's their identity in that particular area. Now, that's in a small way. But some people approach all of life that way. And they have predetermined that this is how it's going to be. They have become accustomed to living without victory. The second challenge that people face is that Satan is a constant accuser. Satan is a constant accuser of people. And he comes against people and he says, you're never going to change. God's word doesn't work. You can't apply that message to your life. After all, you are you. And Satan is coming against the believer as a constant accuser. And I want to tell you something this morning, folks. Satan is a liar. In fact, the Bible says of him in John 8 and verse 44, he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there was no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. But Satan comes to people and he says, you can't get over that traumatic incident. You can't get over that difficulty of your past. You can't overcome your compulsive behavior. You can't overcome that sin. You can't overcome that guilt. And he wants you to stay right in the state of misery, not Missouri, amen, misery. He wants you to stay there. He doesn't want you to enjoy the blessings of the Christian life. He doesn't want you to understand the privileges of salvation. He wants you to be convinced of the fact that you're a failure and that you could never do anything for God. You're not as good as any of these other people around you. And he wants you to face constant challenges in overcoming our defects. Now, we see, first of all, this morning, the origin of our defects. They come from, first of all, the Adamic nature, sometimes passed on from generation to generation, sometimes from our own wrong choices over a period of time. Secondly, we see these obstacles or challenges in overcoming the defects, and we just kind of throw up our arms and just accept those challenges, and sometimes we let Satan accuse us falsely. But I want you to focus in with me on the real meat of this message this morning, and that is this third area, the victory over our defects. The victory over our defects. How can we have the victory over sin and over the hurts and over the habits that plague us? Notice first of all in chapter 12 of Romans again, please. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1. The Bible says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. May I please stop there with you this morning? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. The word therefore, whenever you see the word therefore in the Bible, look to see what it's there for. Why is God saying that? And in a nutshell, in chapters 1 through 11, you will find in the book of Romans the plan of salvation. You will find in chapters 1, 2, and 3 that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are sinners. You will find in chapters 4 and following that Jesus Christ, God's Son, shed His blood upon the cross and rose up again on the third day in order that all of us might have our sins forgiven. He is merciful. He is loving. He is right in letting the sinner off because of the blood that was shed. So in chapter 12, Paul says, therefore, he says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies, or because of all these mercies we've been talking about, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. The victory over defects comes, first of all, when we present ourselves to the Lord. This is what we mean by volunteering, saying, Lord, I want your changes in my life. I present my life to you. You don't have to pull me into this, Lord. I voluntarily admit today, I need your help. I want your help. I present myself to you. The word present means that we are literally to put into His hands our lives. A sacrifice pleasing to Him. We yield ourselves. We volunteer to follow God's changes. Now, not only do we present ourselves to the Lord, but secondly, we are to be transformed by the Lord. Transformed by the Lord. Would you notice, please, in chapter 12 and verse 2? And be not conformed to this world. In other words, God does not expect for Christians to look and act and live and feel and behave like this world. He doesn't want you caught up in that habit, that hang-up, or suffering in that hurt, guilt, or shame. He doesn't want you in the basement of all of that. He wants you to be transformed. Now, the Greek word here for transformed is metamorphosized, changed from the inside out. God wants to change your life. How's He going to do that? Notice specifically in verse 2. and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed, watch this, by the renewing of your mind. God says, if I'm going to help you overcome the challenges and the hurts and the sins of this life, then there's going to be a battle fought for your mind, and we are going to have to begin thinking differently. You are going to have to be metamorphosized, changed from the inside out. Your mind is going to have to get on a different thought process. And so we present ourselves to the Lord, and then we ask Him to transform our mind, Ephesians 4:23, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, folks, think about this. Our thoughts are the autopilot of our lives. The autopilot of our lives. You see, this morning you got up, you dressed a certain way, you came a certain way, you attended a certain church because there's some things that are going on in your mind. Tomorrow, there'll be some thoughts guide you to work, guide you to some things you do, and some of you, you're just kind of on autopilot, and thoughts are the autopilot of our mind. Now, what is your autopilot today about yourself and about your relationship with God? What does the autopilot say? Does it say, it's just like me to be a complainer? It's just like me to be depressed? It's just like me to be fat? It's just like me to drink? It's just like me to do drugs? That's just who I am. What does your autopilot say? It's just like me to have bursts of temper and anger. It's just like me to have, you fill in the blank, okay? What does the autopilot say to you, and where does it take you, and where will it take you tomorrow? How can we overcome then that pattern or that pathway that the autopilot takes us on, whether it's temper, whether it's lust, whatever it might be? And you see, the only way that you're going to have a change in direction in your life is to get off of the autopilot of your flesh and to begin following the leadership of the Lord, and He wants to transform your mind, your way of thinking, so that you're not going according to autopilot, but you're going according to God's piloting of your life. Now, how can that happen? Here it is. I want to give you 7 quick steps. And these are steps that if you just hear them today and hurry on to Hometown Buffet after church, they're not going to matter a lot. But if you'll hear them, as James said, be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. If you'll hear them with a mind to apply them, if you'll cut it out and maybe take this little outline and put it on your dashboard or put it somewhere where you can go over this, I promise you that if God's pinpointing some things in your life that He wants changed, He can use these steps to help you overcome in these areas. First, we need to ask God to change one defect at a time. One at a time. Now, some of them may be interrelated. Oftentimes, lust and anger are interrelated. Oftentimes, a difficulty with perhaps control of spending and control in other areas are interrelated. But you say, Lord, as you convict me of an area, or if there's an area that I already know that I'm struggling in, Lord, I'm going to give that to you every day. I'm presenting my life to you, and I'm asking you to change my mind and my way of thinking about this. Proverbs 17:24, wisdom is before him that hath understanding, but the eyes of a fool are in the ends of the earth. Now, the eyes of a fool are going everywhere all the time. They're never focused. But a man with wisdom, with great understanding, focuses on the area of need, and he asks God for wisdom, James 1:5. If any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. And God says, I want you to ask me for that wisdom. I don't want you focusing on everything all at once. I want you, first of all, to ask me to change one area in your life at a time. Secondly, we're to focus on victory one day at a time. Focus on victory one day at a time. Someone struggling with alcohol, it may mean, this day I'll refuse alcohol. This day I'll stay away from it. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 11. Give us this day our daily bread. Someone might pray, Lord, today help me not to be negative. Lord, today help me to be sweet. Lord, today help me to stay away from that substance. Lord, today help me to stay away from that wrong relationship. Some of you may take the list from last week's message and just kind of go over that and say, Lord, this area today. Now, this is where the battle begins on the daily basis. Some of you heard about the lady who was praying, and she said, "Now, Lord, so far today I haven't cursed. So far today I haven't yelled. So far today I haven't been angry. So far today I haven't been mean to the children. So far today I haven't been unkind to my husband. But, Lord, I'm about ready to get out of bed, and when I do, I'm going to need all the help I can get." But at least she was praying at the right time of the day. As she began her day, you see, focus on victory one day at a time. Number three, focus on God's power, not your willpower. Focus on God's power. You see, this is where so many recovery programs of the world's ilk are terribly, terribly insufficient, because they focus on the power of positive thinking and listening to positive thinking tapes and all this type of stuff and psycho-cybernetics and Think and Grow Rich and all this psychobabble, and they are not focusing on the power of the empty tomb and of the resurrected Savior. And my friend, it's not by my might, it's not by my power, it's by the Spirit of the living God that we'll have victory. And Paul the Apostle said, "I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me." And so we come to the Lord and we say, "Lord, here's the area of defect. Lord, I present it to you. Lord, I'm going to take this one day at a time with you. I'm going to seek your wisdom. And Lord, I want you to know that I'm depending on your power. I ask you for your strength in this area today." Number four, focus on God's word, not on avoiding temptation. Focus on God's word, not on avoiding temptation. Now, may I have your attention? This is where so many Christians make such a bad mistake. They say, "I'm not going to eat ding-dongs today. I'm not going to eat ding-dongs today. I'm not going to eat ding-dongs. I am not going to eat ding-dongs. I'm not going to eat ding-dongs." Well, guess what they're thinking about all day? Ding-dongs. What we need to focus on is God's word. You see, for the word of God is quick and powerful, and sharper than a two-edged sword. Philippians 4:8, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise," what's the next word say? "Think on these things." Put your mind to those things, you see. And so we must come to the place where we focus on the Scriptures. You say, "Well, this is my particular struggle. This is my particular sin. This is my particular hurt." You might go to a discipler or a teacher in the church or a deacon or a pastoral staff or someone and say, "Listen, I need a couple of verses for this problem." And I would encourage you to write those verses on a 3x5 card, put them in your pocket. And instead of saying, I won't touch alcohol, just start reading the verse and studying the Scripture and let God's word energize you and empower you. Someone may feel like they're nothing. They may feel, because they were told by a stepfather, "You're just a tramp," by a parent, "You're just going to go to jail. You're no good." They may have become convinced of that. They might need to memorize Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 6, which says, "For you are accepted in the Beloved." And they may need to get a hold of that truth of who they are in Christ. And that verse will be a tremendous help to them. You see, 1 John 4 and verse 18 says, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear." And when you come to the comprehension of the love of Christ for you, there will be victory in your heart. There will be joy that overcomes your soul. Number five, focus on doing good, not on being good. Focus on doing good, not on being good. Someone says, "All right, today I'm going to be good. I'm just going to do the very best that I can. I'm just going to stay focused on this. That's what I'm going to focus on." Now, wait a minute. Again, this is a faulty logic, and it is not scriptural. Because first of all, we can't be good on our own. And secondly, we need to focus on doing what is right. In Galatians 5 and verse 16 says, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye will not fulfill the lust of the flesh." Someone says, "I just don't have any emotions for my children, for my spouse." Listen, stop worrying about emotions and start doing what God would have you to do, and the emotions will follow later. And so we need to focus on doing good, because you're not going to be good until you do good. And so the Bible says that we're to walk in the Spirit, and then we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we've got to get the spiritual walk in its first order. Number six, focus on people who are positive. Focus on people who are positive influences in your life. Now notice 1 Corinthians 15:33. It says, be not deceived, evil communications corrupt good manners. Now, the word communications in this verse means companions or associations. So it means this. Evil companions are going to corrupt your good manners. That's why some of you young people attending Antelope Valley College, you better watch your friendships out there. That's why some of you in the workplace had better guard your friendships, because nearness is likeness. And you're going to be influenced by that environment. Evil communications corrupt good manners. If you have a friend that makes fun of your standards, that makes fun of the Word of God, that somehow tries to criticize your faith, then you'd better get around some friends that try to bolster what you're trying to do and encourage you and say, man, that's great you haven't had an alcoholic beverage. That's great you haven't hit that place you used to go. And man, you're doing great. I'm happy for you, you see. You need to make sure that you have the right kinds of friends today that encourage you in the right areas of your Christian life. Number 7, focus on progress, not on perfection. Focus on progress, not on perfection. And Paul said in Philippians 3, we come to this again, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended. He said, I have not arrived. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. You see, he was moving forward in his Christian life. And so don't look for perfection, but look for progress each and every day. Now, friend, I think if we were to be honest, all of us would say, boy, when I consider my Adamic nature, when I consider some things I've done habitually over the years, I've got some defects. I've got some areas that need challenging and changing. But we must say, Lord, I volunteer. I present myself. Lord, here I am. Because God isn't going to drag you down to an altar. God isn't going to drag you into a Sunday night service. God isn't going to drag you into a devotional habit. God isn't going to drag you and force you to follow these 7 steps this morning. Somewhere along the line, we've got to say, Lord, I present my body a living sacrifice. Lord, I do it as my reasonable service in light of everything you've done for me. Lord, I volunteer to have your changes in my life. And I pray this morning that each and every one of us would say something like this: Lord, you're the potter, I'm the clay. You want to move some things around in my life? I ask you to do that. And if you're here this morning and you'd say, I don't even know where to begin, let me tell you where it all begins. Recovery begins at the cross of Jesus Christ. And if you realize today that you are a sinner, I want to tell you something. God loves sinners, and he died on the cross, Jesus did, for our sin, in order that we might be saved. And if you do not know that heaven would be your home someday, we would invite you to consider coming to Jesus Christ and as a sinner saying, Lord, I commit to you my life, my soul. I ask you to be my Savior today. And when we do that, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we thank you today that when we volunteer, you help us to recover. You give us principles from the Bible, and I pray that you would help people in this room today to have great victory in whatever defective, challenging, sinful area that haunts them and hurts them. May they have victory is my prayer.
Well, you've been listening to Daily in the Word, featuring the teaching and preaching of Dr. Paul Chappell, pastor of the Lancaster Baptist Church and president of West Coast Baptist College in Lancaster, California. We're studying recovery together with God. We're discovering how to break loose from the chains of sin that bind us and how to experience the new life that really comes with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Recovery with God. You can find out more about this series or listen to past messages when you visit us online at dailyintheword.org. When you visit Daily in the Word online, I want to encourage you to take advantage of the resources that are there to help you in your spiritual growth. The first would be the podcast. You can download this program and take it with you on your device or your computer to listen to at your convenience. Also, you can refer a friend to the Daily in the Word podcast and let them be encouraged by the same preaching you receive each and every day via this broadcast. I want to encourage you to take a look at Dr. Chappell's newest book, The Burden Bearer. It's an allegory that each chapter is filled with not only a storyline, but then practical applications that will help you understand how to cast your burdens really and truthfully upon the Lord Jesus Christ and live the life that he intends you to live as his child. Again, this book is called The Burden Bearer. It's a wonderful read. Once you read it, I promise you, you're going to want everybody you know to read this book. Again, you can find out more about it at dailyintheword.org. Also, we're very excited to announce another Alaska cruise this coming August 3rd through the 10th, 2013. You're invited to join Dr. Chappell and friends from all across the country for great preaching and teaching, wonderful Christian fellowship, and the cruising of Alaska's Inside Passage, making a lifetime memory seeing some of God's most beautiful and majestic creation. That's August 3rd through the 10th, and you can find out more information about it at dailyintheword.org. Finally, on the website, you'll find a subscription link to a daily email. If you would sign up for this, you would receive a daily email from Dr. Chappell with a devotional, a word of encouragement from God's Word, and then an Old Testament and New Testament scripture reading along with a chapter of Proverbs every day. And as you get this email, if you follow it throughout the year, you'll read God's Word through in 1 year. It's a great resource, and it's free at dailyintheword.org. Well, thanks for listening today. If we can serve you or be an encouragement to you, please give us a call toll-free, 1-800-201-7748. Once again, 1-800-201-7748. Until next time, thanks for joining us for today's edition of Daily in the Word. Have a great day.